you are listening to the Footy Mailbag Podcast with Damo and Butler.
Hello and welcome to the Footy Mailbag. My name is Damo and round one is in the books. A bit to talk about, but first, joining me as he usually does is Clarky. How are you, my friend?
My friend, Melbourne won. My team did acceptably. Sure, let's call it that. But yeah, I'm happy.
Yeah, I mean, my team also won, and then my team also did.
Damo, okay, I could hear you celebrating all the way from WA.
It was a great weekend for us in terms of football.
We'll go straight into it. I had a rough week by comparisons. 2033 for me is not the start that I was hoping for, but like a lot of people, I think there were a few 50-50s that didn't quite go some people's ways, and we'll probably touch on it in more detail soon, but Hayden Young, Nick Martin, both kind of flopped, but only based on kind of like the same issue. Jaden Short was another one for me who's had one good week and now one average week. So I don't know which way the tree's falling with that one, which is something that I'll try to adjust with my trades this week. But Damo, I think your score is actually a lot better than you're making it out to be.
Yeah, I mean, I scored 2172, which...
That's good.
Which is good, and I saw some people really upset with their scores not quite reaching the 2100 mark, which was about par for the weekend. But the thing that upset me about my score was a lot of my 50-50 calls didn't go the way I wanted them to, and I think that's where the disappointment lies.
Yeah.
And so I've now got decisions to make on those guys, whether that's this week or next week, and
it's very fun that we're in the same boat, but 100 points difference, which in the grand scheme of things, it's Supercoach is not a game of inches. It's a game of miles. So don't be disheartened if your team didn't fall the way you wanted it to, or if conditions didn't suit you this week. Just focus on what you're going to do to improve it this week, or know what you're waiting for in these coming weeks as you make your trades.
Now, Clarky, I need your thoughts here. So
throw it at me.
So round one is in the books, and something I noticed over the weekend, which might have been a little bit understated, was if it's been mentioned before, I should say, was how much round zero might affect how we interpret round one. So now we've got staggered price changes with the players that played in round zero and then the players that played in round one. I feel like it's making us react much quicker than we might have usually with a normal start. So how do we go looking at Nick Martin or Jai Newcomb's poor round one, as opposed to someone like Gorn, who's now backed up a poor opening game with a great score? Like, why can't Martin or Newcomb, who had the roles and just a poor return like Gorn did, come out and prove themselves to be good selections this week? I think there's a very different balancing act that we now have to consider when we're making these corrections. Are we jumping on someone because we've seen two games rather than one game from someone? Or does the staggered price changes mean we have to make those moves, we have to pull those triggers a little bit quicker than we might have in the past?
I think it's important to remember that opening round did change how we view our trades this week as a whole, and that's okay. It's put us all in a very uncomfortable position of having to make those decisions on, as I said, I've got Jaden Short, whose price changes this week on whether or not he gets his break even. But I've also got Hayden Young, who had, as you said, another one, had the role, didn't get the score that I was hoping for, and now there's some other circumstances that may affect that. The important thing to remember is that as you make your trades, the ultimate goal is to have your team be the best it can possibly be. We're blessed with best 18 for these buy rounds. which means that we don't have to stress too much about having a lot of bench cover for those that have Gibkiss and Reed, which we'll touch on those injuries, but Gibkiss out for the season. Very terrible considering what we were expecting from him. We have an opportunity to... This would be the time of corrective trades. It's the first live round. This is the first time you're dipping into your pot of trades. Traditionally, we would always use this as a round of corrections. And it's okay to do that. It just means that we might have to be mindful of who we target, where they're on the bubble, and the same as when price changes hit in, say, last year. Being mindful of who we want to target before they're too expensive, and we might have to change that plan to being down the line. So it's important to understand that it's uncomfortable because we've got staggered price changes, but I don't think you should call yourself reactive or overactive by wanting to improve your team from a poor score. At the end of the day, this is about your interpretation of these results and these scores, one good score and one bad score, but a role might have seemed different to you. That is a red flag to you that you should move it on to somebody who you think you're not going to get the points from last week, and a lot of people will say point chasing. But when you're looking at roles and when you're taking the points out of it and purely looking at, will that be consistent? Is that sustainable? And you're comfortable with that? Then that trade adds value to your team.
Yeah, just got to be careful. And there's a difference between point chasing and player chasing. And yeah. I think, and let's use Isaac Heaney as an example. He's got a great role, and Taylor Adams and Luke Parker are still about 3 weeks away. And Sydney's run over the 3 weeks before their bye is really quite favourable towards Sydney and their matchups. So I think going for Heaney from someone like a Fisher or even a Jackson, if people are so inclined because of Freo's injuries, isn't a bad move. It's just you've got to just consider... You expected Jackson to be a season-long keeper, and maybe that's not the case anymore. You expected Zach Fisher to potentially become a keeper through his role, but you're not quite happy with what you saw in round one. So ideally, you're moving the rookies off your field first before you swap out your premiums. But if your premiums aren't correct, then your team's going to get too far behind. So there's a bit of a balance that you need to have when you make these corrections and when you pull these triggers to go with the price changes.
Yeah, I would agree. It's important just to take into the context of your whole team and understanding how the trade affects the team in its entirety going forward.
Clarkie, let's talk about some other things that happened during the week since last time we spoke to our listeners. On the Thursday afternoon, I did a little Q&A on our Facebook page. I don't expect to do them all the time. We kind of neglect the Facebook page a little bit.
Just as much, but we forget you because you're our middle child.
And I had half an hour spare and thought, may as well see if people need help. And I know answering Q&As after we've just done a podcast that revolves around people asking questions seems a little bit redundant, but we had some really interesting questions, and it was a lot of 50-50 questions. And I'm happy to say that in most cases, I actually got it correct in my thinking. It served the people well.
Isn't it funny that, and you'll find this with a lot of content creators, that we're so much better at giving advice impartially than we are following our own. And I think you'll find it with most, if not all, content creators, Supercoach or other platform. It's very nice when you're able to take yourself out of it, but then you have your own emotions attached to your team. So it's nice to answer somebody else's question. So it's really good that we can spend that time with the community.
Another thing that happened, there's a team in Tasmania, and they properly launched the Tasmania Devils. You guys covered this on the Falcon, which If you haven't heard Clarkie's other podcast, go and listen to that. A bit more footy centric, a bit less footy Supercoach adjacent. Talk.
Loosely footy adjacent, not nearly as informative as the mailbag.
They're kind of like if you go to a pub and sit around a table and have a beer with these guys. It's kind of conversations that you have if footy was brought up. So it's kind of having a conversation with friends kind of podcast. So yeah. It's nice. If you haven't heard it, go and listen. Clarkie, Jesse, and Chris, they're a fun time. Go and listen to that. They talked about this as well. But new Tassie team, over 100K members already, or 100K.
Good for them.
Yeah, I mean, people are arguing that it's only $10 stickers that people have bought. It's not really a membership, but you'd be surprised what clubs count as memberships across the other 18 teams. So don't poo-poo the Tassie team just giving out stickers. Like,
yeah, I think Richmond counted if you tag your Mikey at Richmond Station on the way to the football. So close enough. I'm really happy that the Tassie design, I don't think they unveiled too much new information or anything that we really weren't aware of, but it was nice to see them have like a big event and unveil the new logo, which is like a more modern take on like a Tasmanian devil. I said this on the Falcon, so consider this a little preview, but I suggested that it's less of a football logo, but it does look like a more modern, like an NFL or NBA style logo, which kind of cool. I dig it.
Yeah, I mean, the first thing that came to mind when I saw the logo was it kind of looks like an NBL logo, like that kind of vein, but I mean, a lot of people are let down by how the Guernsey looks, and I mean, I understand it doesn't look out of this world.
Well, the important thing is that they're actually going to have a new jersey by the time they join the competition in, is it 2029? They'll actually run out in a different style jersey. So this one was just a legacy one, but I actually liked the legacy one. I don't know how did you feel about it, Damo?
I mean, it's the jumper that they use for all their state games. So it makes sense to be a legacy one. And I have no idea when they're entering in the competition, to answer your other question there, Clarkie.
It's around 2029.
There's a state election in Tasmania this weekend. And depending on who wins, well, that will depend on when they, enter the competition.
Yeah, it's look, generally I think very positive for Tasmania. Let them have some fun. Good for them. Don't take my players though. Stay away from my players.
The free agents list in 2027 that has been released by Fox Footy, it's like, yeah, I don't think those teams will let those players go for just anything. And considering Tassie doesn't have a lot to offer yet, for those players, those teams will want some mad compensation for the players that Fox Footy says they could potentially lose. Like,
they could probably give them some free tickets to the Spirit of Tasmania. That's not bad.
These players were like Matt Rowell, Noah Anderson, Caleb Sarong.
Okay, these guys seem like they'd like a boat.
Though it's going to be a tough ride. Like, It's going to be tough for those teams to accept what Tassie might have to offer.
Look, but also Tassie might have boatloads of cash to offer. So I guess we'll find out in a couple of years.
So you spoke about it at the top there. Popular picks let us down this weekend. Nick Martin had the role, didn't really use the ball all that well. Zach Fisher the same. Hayden Young was what we expected, but gave away like a million free kicks and did some really silly things with the footballs. But I mean, role was there. Ollie Wines spent forever on the bench, and Brody Grundy also gave away like a million free kicks as well. I mean, Brody Grundy, I think he just got a hold. He hasn't led a ruck department in 2 years, and there was always going to be teething problems in a new team. So I think just ride him for now. Just let him.
I think, like you said, though, it wasn't necessarily that any of these players had a outstandingly bad game, but they were let down by some of the stats that are very punished in Supercoach. Brody Grundy had a good game, but he turned over the ball a lot in free kicks. He wasn't using it the best. There's going to be a threshold, I think, that if you have too many of these guys and you want to move them on, I think there's an argument to be said for starting that process early to get someone that you missed. I don't know how you feel about that, Damo.
Yeah, I think having too many of these players will hurt you. But, I mean, Grundy had 8 disposals at 62% and gave away 7 free kicks. That no one's going to have a good score giving away 7 free kicks.
I didn't realize it was that many. Jesus.
Yeah, Nick Martin scored 63 from 23 disposals, but only went at 56%. So, like, again...
Also 7 turnovers,
when only, like, what, 11 of your disposals hit a target, you're not gonna get a high score. Zach Fisher had 21 disposals, but 7 clangers and also gave away a free kick. Like, these players had the roles, but they weren't really using the ball that great. If you had Fisher, Grundy, Young, and Martin, I'm so sorry for you. And you probably do need to make a decision on a couple of them to kind of mean that if your other players do have one of these games again, you're not stuck in a hole. But I mean, they had the role. Do you wait and see? I think for a lot of them, it's a yes, but which ones you hold on to and which ones you let go is probably depending on what trade plans you want to make and what targets you have in mind.
If I had to make the call, I would probably feel comfortable moving on either a Nick Martin or a Hayden Young type, just because at their price, there are some really good, and I'll steal the terminology that I've heard so much on the coaches panel, NJ and the crew over there, so go check them out after this. Just a parachute option to, like, Nick Martin. Max Holmes looked really good over the weekend. He would be someone who is actually, I believe, slightly cheaper than Nick Martin. And just a good option to pivot into someone who at least has a very good score in their 3-round cycle. Geelong looked really good. Hayden Young can easily turn into a Harry Sheezel if you missed him or didn't have him. That's just two really nice options, I think, that you can pivot towards to give your team a tad bit of stability. Grundy, you have to stick out, I think. I can't see myself moving him on just as yet.
Yeah, we'll chat about Hayden Young in a little bit. We've got a listener question related to that where I'll go into a bit of detail with him. And then we've got some contentious picks that proved to be worth it, like a Riley Bonner scored 103, but now Ross Lyons put him 5th on the interchange bench in team selection tonight. So
Chris Scott taught us nothing?
And Jack Sinclair is back. So will Riley Bonner be the sub for his owners? I bloody hope not, but...
Well, so there's two schools of thought. And once again, I'll reference our good friends in the content creation world. But Scottfather, Abs Magic, has been very hot on Bonner all preseason. Loves his role and is of the opinion that Sinclair may be spending more time with the mids, which does free up Bonner to still have that halfback role. However, Ross Lyon has also said that Sinclair will make a nice addition to the halfbacks that they have, including Bonner and Nasiah. It's a tough one to call, but I think at his price point with the 102 in it currently, we can kind of just hope that he still has that potential for the ton. It's too soon to jump off him, I think. There's still more time to assess that with Sinclair back in the side.
Yeah, but I mean, with 103, you wouldn't jump off him now. Jeremy Sharp...
103?
It was one or the other.
Yeah.
It was 103 before scaling. Jeremy Sharp, 123K rookie. People didn't want to pick him because they weren't sure of his job security, but he fit into that Freo side like a glove and just commanded that wing like I thought he would and like I was telling people, but no one would listen to me. And he scored 70, which is pretty good for a rookie of that price.
Yeah.
And then Massimo D'Ambrosio, 224K, scored 122. I don't think he's going to score 122 every week, but it's good to know that he has that ceiling.
Yeah, I'll be interested to see how that plays out against Melbourne this week. He's another one who I think you have the option to not rush into him, and I would completely understand. I don't think I'm willing to force trades to just bring him in on the back of Willie turn up again coming against Melbourne this week as well. I have some concerns about how consistent will that be, and we have an opportunity to get on his price rise next week as well. But I loved it. I loved the role, and Hawthorn didn't look as bad as I expected against Essendon this week.
So, Clarkie, let's do our captains for round two.
Oh, we're doing captains early.
Let's do captains for round two. Yeah, before we get into the listener questions, we'll do our captains, and then we'll answer our beautiful listeners' questions.
All right, let's do it.
Alrighty, so Nick Dacos against St Kilda will be a popular vice captain, and
I think it makes something I'm considering. Sense. Yeah,
I'm also considering Caleb Sarong vice captain against North Melbourne on Saturday morning.
Yeah, your boy Caleb Sarong got 46 possessions without breaking a sweat. Imagine what he could do against North Melbourne. It'll be interesting. I wonder if North Melbourne will spend any effort putting some time into him. But at the same time.
Yeah, so at the moment, if I look at my team, my vice captain is Dacos and my captain is Sarong. That could change to being vice captain Sarong, and then I put my captaincy on Tom Green against West Coast for that final game of the round. It just depends on if I want to keep. It just depends on if I want to leave my captain call that late, which I don't usually advocate for. So those were my captains. My thoughts for my captains this round, Clarkie. What were you thinking for yourself?
I think it makes the most sense to start with Nick Dacos against St Kilda. Nick Dacos racked it up. He's racked it up both games that he's played now. There's no reason to not take that as a safe VC option early on into the round. Some of the considerations I think would be, I don't have them in my team, but I'd probably be interested in a Clayton Oliver or Christian Petrarca, even with a Finn McGuinness potential loaded onto the back of that. Max Gorn, I think, probably stay away. Ned Reeves has actually kind of had a record of being a decent neutralizing ruckman, so I think he could go either way. But moving on from that, Isaac Heaney, can we look past him? Two back-to-back triple-figure scores. It's just almost like, it's at the SCG. I can't see a reason not to do that, but I think, for me, I'm probably going to go with Tom Green against the Eagles. Another person racks up contested possession, gets it out. Two back-to-back big scores. Happy to have him in my team, but those are some options that I'm giving consideration to.
Yeah, and I think those options will be popular. Bontempelli against the Suns at Mars Stadium as well will be another one that people consider. Before we get to the listener questions, let's crown our Mailbag League t-shirt winner for best team name.
Woo!
Clarkie, would you like to make the announcement?
Bless all of your cotton socks for entering our league. We appreciate you. We appreciate your patronage. And we went through the list and there's some really good names in there. So before we do get to the winner, I did want to say a special shout out for two that tickled me on personal notes, which is Cows with Guns. The Dana Lyons Cows with Guns song was something that my dad shared with me when I was a kid, and I used to think it was one of the funniest things that I've ever heard in my life, and still giggle as a I'll be 32 on the weekend, and I will still giggle as that as a grown human. And also the Yabbies, because I had a friend who played for the Yabbies football club, and she was adamant that their club slogan was "Nip Nip," and bless your hearts. But Damo, our winner, crowned by the Footy Mailbaggers, the finest name in all the league, Iden Seek, which is owned by Tom. Thank you so much. We appreciate you. It was hard, Damo. I know you and I discussed it for a long time.
Yeah, and there were this name and Freed from Nazaya was probably the final two that we got down to when we were whittling it down. So sorry, Freed from Nazaya.
Damo fought hard.
Great name, and I fought hard, but in the end, Iden Seek won. Tom, please reach out to us on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, wherever you're engaging with our content, and we will... and we will get a t-shirt to you as quick as we can.
Bless you. Thank you, team. We love you all.
So, okay, time for the listener questions. And just a reminder for our audience that when we talk about some players, we might give them a green, yellow, or red rating. Green indicates a good pick. Yellow is a watch or hold. And red is a trade or avoid. These make up our traffic lights. A player could earn their rating for several reasons, including, but not limited to, scoring potential, job security, price point, reliability, or injury status. And a graphic of our traffic lights goes live on our social media accounts on Thursday mornings for the ones that Clarkie and I put together during the week. So,
which is so funny every Thursday so far, because we've put them out and then immediately had to do a correction when teams were released. But it's just too late to do it at 5:30 on a Thursday afternoon. So take them as your great guide of what you need to be looking out for.
Yeah, and we won't get everything right, but I'm hoping that 95% of it is helpful, and hopefully it helps you decide on your trades for the week. So first question comes from Belinda on Twitter. She wants to know, Newcomb or Wines traded out first?
If I had to pick one, I'd probably say Newcomb, only because Wines still scored quite well. It was just sort of the amount of mid that he was getting. But also, I think we need to remember, Port Adelaide were playing West Coast, and they won so easily. They didn't need to expend more time from Wines than they really needed to, especially given they're probably trying to manage him as an older player on their list to make sure that he's tip-top shape for the whole year. Give him another week. Let him cook. Newcomb plays for the Hawks, which is another a whole nother problem. Good player, though.
I've got Newcomb in my personal team, and I'm holding him for now, but of those two, you've probably got more options to move to from Newcomb than you do from Wines. So I'd say of the two, you probably want to get rid of Newcomb first.
Yeah, nuke Newcomb and let Wines age.
But I would also recommend maybe holding both until next week.
Look, that's always an option. Holding fire is always an option.
We're all very trigger happy here because, you know, Supercoach is about trading and people love to do it. So
I do love the trading part. It's my favorite bit, Damo. This is the part of the season where fun Supercoach dad comes out.
And the trading bit is what keeps people engaged. So
trade Newcomb to Max Holmes.
So I get it.
I'm doing it. You know what? Trade Newcomb to Harry Mackay. Do it.
You and your Harry Mackay. He's a good option. He's give you that.
He's played well twice in a row.
You might have picked one there.
Finally.
Jevs on Twitter.
Thanks.
Is getting rid of Hayden Young and Josh Gibkiss. And he wants to know Raul or Hogan or Tom Berry plus banked cash. So I asked him to clarify the question a little bit, and I'm assuming he's thinking Raul or Tom Berry or Hogan and Tom Berry plus banked cash.
I think this has to be the week that you go for Raul. Like, if you've got buy cover, Hogan is not a long-term option, I think is the problem.
All three of these guys have the same buy, so...
Yeah.
So just consider that and make sure you're not becoming too unbalanced trading two of these guys in. But I agree with you. I'd probably go for Raul and Tom Berry.
Raul has more potential as a long-term option.
Yeah, for sure. He looks incredible, and he features as a green for us this week as well.
Yeah, clearance machine. He does a lot of things that Supercoach loves to give stats for. Just an absolute machine. Jesse Hogan plays West Coast this week and then has their bye. And I think things do get a bit tougher for them after that going forward. Not saying that Hogan can't still score well, but the issue being that I own Hogan, so my method behind picking him was that the opposition was a lot easier for GWS leading up to their first bye and even a little bit after it, which means that Hogan can be flipped for some pretty decent cash quite early on, and that's while we're waiting for the forwards to sort of shake themselves out. So I think, unless you're intending to keep Hogan for an extended period because you think that he can maintain that kind of scoring, he probably shouldn't be in your considerations at this time.
If you started the season with Hogan, I completely understand the move, but using a trade on him, I think you're better off going for someone who you won't have to trade out again later on.
Yeah.
So Raul and Tom Berry is my pick of the bunch there for you. Thanks for the question, Jevs.
Thanks, Jevs. And thanks, Belinda. Sorry, we didn't thank you, Belinda, but we appreciate you.
Next question comes from...
This is for you, Damo.
Matt Collins on Facebook. Will Hayden Young have a role change with Frio's injuries? Now, it sounds like Justin Longmuir is trying to avoid it. Because he talked about having the right midfield mix will relieve the pressure on the back line to hold up with especially being undermanned. So I'm going to say he won't start with a role change against North Melbourne, but it will depend on how the game's going if he moves backwards or not. And I don't think him moving to the back line is a be all and end all for him, to be honest. Because he was quite close to a 100 average last season. And I know he played midfield for the final four games, but he was pretty close to taking that next step as a defender anyway. So I don't think him moving to defense or spending time in defense is a be all and end all for him as a defender in Supercoach, especially considering 525k, pretty good price. And he could end up kind of like a Callum Mills role, which has been fruitful for him. So I don't think we should be panicking on Hayden Young.
Hi, Damo. Yes, Clarky, a footy mailbag. I have quest. If Hayden Young's role is to fluctuate into a little bit more of a utility, like maybe he'll play sometimes back, maybe he'll play sometimes in the mid, is that not enough concern that we should have for his consistency in scoring? Would now be a good time to flip him into someone who we know has more of a set role? Or do you feel like the consistency and output will maintain regardless of which position he is in?
Because of his familiarity with both roles now, I don't think we should be worried about the fluctuation in that sense. If he was becoming a utility and playing in roles that he wasn't comfortable in, then maybe we might have that concern. But he's played defense since he got to Freo, and now he's moved into the midfield, and he's comfortable in there now. Obviously, he needs to clean up his ball use, but I don't think it's too much of a concern yet.
Okay, so the best option for Hayden Young at the moment would be to see how it pans out this week.
Yeah, and I think against North Melbourne, he might get a bit of an inflated score because of the opposition, but we will get an idea of how they plan to use him throughout a game with all these injuries around.
Yeah. Okay, no, that's really good. My advice is to trade Hayden Young to Harry Mackay. Harry Mackay has had back-to-back triple-figure scores, and I think that we're just going to see that consistency maintained forever because things are always good.
Clarky. Actually, you mentioned something earlier that I actually don't mind.
Was it Harry Mackay?
You said if you missed out on Harry Sheasel and you have Hayden Young, it's only 5K to move up to Harry Sheasel. And if people aren't comfortable with Hayden Young after all these injuries, and even with all the information around suggesting he won't move, you're not convinced by, then I 100% endorse that move going from Hayden Young to Harry Sheasel. But if you've already got Harry Sheasel and Hayden Young, then Will Powell at the Gold Coast Suns, Damien Hardwick has found his new Jaden Short. This next question also comes from Matt Collins.
Thanks,
on
Matt.
Facebook. Should Martin and Fisher be held, or should I trade Martin to Heaney? And he's put a little backstory here where Heaney's burnt him before with injuries, and he's concerned that he'll have a role change when injured Swans midfielders come back into the team.
So that's exactly the thing that you do need to be cautious about. And I mean cautious in the sense that this is the one time where Isaac Heaney has confirmed from Horse, come out and said, hey, Heaney's going to play predominantly in the midfield. And then as the players return, that role may shift slightly. So they always intended for Heaney to be an option as a midfielder, is my take from what Horse's comments. They've always intended for him to be an option in the midfield. However, the personnel that they've had hasn't necessitated a significant amount of time from Heaney. And we've spoken about this many times, Damo, you and I, and it's the perfect way to complement Heaney's ability as a footballer, because he is capable in multiple different roles across the field. Like, he is an impact player. If you're bringing in Heaney, there is a strong possibility, I'd say probably what, 70% possibility, that you will have to consider flipping him to a long-term primo in, let's say, 3 to 6 weeks.
We also have to remember Luke Parker is also a viable forward in terms of on-field actual playing, not super coach related. So we might see Luke Parker spend more time forward with this emergence of Heaney and a bit of a changing of the guard at the Swans.
Yeah. But Matt, if you want my advice, I think you should trade Zach Fisher to Harry Mackay. Harry Mackay has had back-to-back triple-figure scores.
Clarky, don't confuse the listeners.
It's not confusing if I have the same message.
But they'll listen to all this advice and all they'll get is Harry Mackay in their ear.
He's back, baby, the redemption arc.
If someone trades in Harry Mackay this week and he scores 37...
It's your fault. You broke him.
If someone trades in Harry Mackay this week and then they complain because he's on a bye, you can come after Clarky.
I thought his was next week. I forget. The opening round was stupid, guys. We know this. Just to talk about Martin and Fisher specifically, sorry, just to get back to Matt's question. I think you should hold Martin. I think you could go either way on Fisher. Martin 100% had the role, had the disposals. Mason Redmond gone for a week means that they'll need to rely on Nick Martin a lot more through that back line. And that's, because he is now going to be one of the more experienced ball users. So I think Martin is a better to hold this week. But Fisher, I'm confused about what North are doing, because they've got about three high-quality players who are all sort of vying for a similar halfback style. You're right.
If you are able to find 90k to move Fisher up to Heaney, and I don't mean tearing apart your team to find this 90k, but if you can somehow finagle a trade to move Fisher up to Heaney, then I'd prefer that trade over Martin to Heaney.
Yeah, absolutely.
Another question from Matt Collins is...
Matt, thank you.
Should I wait to see Massimo one more time?
We kind of touched on this before.
Yeah, we mentioned it before that if you can do it without forcing another trade or forcing a trade you weren't planning, then getting him in now is fine. But if you want to wait to make sure that the trade's worth it, then that's also fine.
Yeah. Thanks, Matt.
Vinny on Facebook. Vinny, wants to know, Lazaro and Fisher, was preseason false advertising?
I don't think it was necessarily false advertising. I think that's quite harsh for a team that we knew would probably struggle to get the results. They're still trying to find their feet as a club. Like, we have to remember Alistair Clarkson stepped away from the club for a significant portion of last year, even though training with the group, and it takes time for all those things to gel together. Lazaro and Fisher, and we just kind of spoke about it, Fisher is impacted by both Sheasel and McKercher coming through. Lazaro, I'm not as around, to be perfectly honest, but I think North Melbourne definitely have to have a bit of a teething period to find out what everyone's going to excel at.
And we talked about Freo's injuries and how it could affect Hayden Young. Let's not forget Josh Gota ruptured his Achilles as well. And so we don't know what that will do for the likes of a Zach Fisher, who was playing pretty much the opposite role to him on the other side of the ground. So I know Fisher's not key position size, whereas Josh Gota was, so he was able to match up differently, but we don't know what that means for Fisher going forward.
Yeah, so I think it's kind of a wait and monitor. Maybe one more week. If you're desperate to make that move, though, moving on one of them to a rookie that you didn't pick up, or maintaining your economy is probably the best play at this stage. Maintaining your economy this early into it is almost paramount to how you move going forward.
If you started Zach Fisher over someone like a James Jordan,
yeah,
then by making that trade, you bank 100k, and that's a juicy trade.
That's a good trade. And then we've also got Tom Berry, who we spoke about before. I would say even Aaron Cadman is still in. He's coming up to a buy, yes, but he's got a few really good prices in his cycle at the moment, and he's dirt cheap.
Yeah, like there's some options that will give you a bit of cash to play with down the track, like a James Jordan, like we said, or rookies like Tom Berry or Aaron Cadman. If you didn't start Nat Fife, he's another option. He looked pretty good against Brisbane. And Jack Billings, there's always going to be the sub risk with him, even though he looked really good against the Dogs on the weekend. But he's another option that you could parachute from. Parachute two from Fisher and bank a bit of cash and have some money to play with when upgrade season comes around.
Yeah, I will say I've seen people talking a lot about Billings, and I will say about Billings that once a sub means that you permanently have a sub risk in my mind, because why did it happen once? And that means it could happen again because it was situational. I think Billings should be best 22. That is absolutely something that I firmly believe because of his maturity and decision making. He won't score as well as he did every week like he did last week, but he definitely has a role to play in how Melbourne move the ball going forward.
Thanks, Vinny. Thanks for your question.
Yeah, thanks, Vinny.
Next question comes from Warren on Facebook. What are we thinking to replace the injured rookies after round one? So my trade personally, I'm trading Gibkiss now and I'm bringing in Massimo just because I've got a trade that makes sense to bring him in. And I'm going to hold Reed until there's a good defensive rookie on the bubble.
Yeah, my current plans involve a big old switcheroo. Gibkiss will be coming out for me as well. And I will be moving Nick Dacos back and bringing in Jeremy Sharp. Just because he seems to be the mid one that I have missed. And Frio's missing personnel, I think, gives him a little bit more security. And he played well. Like, that's never a downside. So that's my current plan at the moment with the injured rookies in general. Case by case, Gibkiss, we know, is gone. His price isn't going to change, so you're not in any danger if you have the cover and you want to wait to see what shakes out. Not trading him is viable, but make sure it works for your team. We've got best 18 this week as well. So if you've got cover across the ground and you're going to still be able to put yourself up with a decent score, you can probably wait a week. You're not in any rush to make that decision.
And I don't usually like holding players for 4 to 6 weeks, but if no good defender comes along for me to swap Zach Reed to, I do think he'll be back in that Essendon side when available. So
yeah,
you could always play that long game. I'm planning on doing that, but it all depends on how
some
your
of
team
us
works.
Held Charlie Constable for 23 rounds last year.
That's very son true. How painful!
Oh
that
my
was.
God! I just opened up trauma.
You just brought back a memory I didn't want.
Unbox that.
So this next question comes from our Google form, which you can find linked on our Facebook page and our Twitter page. If you ever want to send us a nice long paragraph question. Your co-host from the Falcon has submitted.
Oh no!
Has submitted a question here, Clarkie. Jesse.
Which one?
Jesse.
Bless him.
I've actually copied and pasted it exactly, because I think he wants me to read out exactly as he's written it.
I like to imagine him with a large feathered quill, by candlelight, writing this at his desk.
Okay, so. Long-time lover, first-time caller.
Yeah, that's about
right. I see people trading Grundy for Gorn, forgetting that just over a week ago, Grundy had a huge game and Gorny stunk up the place. Is this a case of recency bias, or am I the last sane person on earth? XOXO, Jesse. Well, first...
first of all, first... last sane person on earth, you would have to be sane first.
You said it. I mean, Grundy for Gorn, no. We spoke about Grundy a little bit earlier. It's been 2 years since he's led a ruck department. He's given away like 15 free kicks in 2 games, and he's at a new team. There's gonna be teething issues, and his scores might not be consistent in this early part of the season, but he did score 139 in round zero and then followed it up with a 71, but gave away 7 free kicks and only had 8 disposals. Hold Grundy. Please hold Grundy.
I think you should be holding Grundy. However, ever the centrist that I am, I can see a circumstance where you feel more comfortable having Gorn because of that ceiling being so high, because of the way Gorn gets his points.
Can I just, sorry to buddy in,
that's all right, I gave you space.
If you have 100K to go from Grundy to Gorn, I actually think that 100K could be used elsewhere better. I don't know where, obviously everyone's team is different, but if you have that 100K, there's probably somewhere in your team where that might be lacking.
Yeah, look, absolutely, 100K makes a big difference in any line, would be like, that's probably the threshold, I think, right? Where that's 100k in the bank is probably a fat blank check across the field. So whether they use it on the ruck line, the midline, defenders, wherever, I think is mostly irrelevant because they're still using it to quote unquote improve their team. I think you're better off holding Grundy just to see where it lands this week anyway. But I'm not going to sit here and say that someone's trade is inherently bad because there's usually some method in the madness. Grundy has a break even of 57, which means that you could absolutely hold him. Max Gawn has a break even of 89, where in the right circumstances, 90 is probably his floor. So there's actually more benefits to holding Grundy, but use it on a case by case. If you can see, if you want Heaney so badly because your forward line is cooked and you need to trade Grundy down, I don't know how you would do that, but is Tristan Sherry cheaper than Grundy? No, he's not, is he?
About the same price.
They're about the same price. I don't know. Who would you trade Grundy to? If you trade Grundy and you have a Luke Jackson and you want to swap him into the ruck, that makes more sense to me than going up from Grundy at this point. You need to stick out your ruck structures because it's typically the hardest position to find the cash to replace. And you're better off and you have more opportunity to replace it in other positions. But hey, you know what? Actually, I take that all back. Damo, what people should be doing is trading Grundy, subbing in Luke Jackson, and bringing in Harry Mackay. Harry Mackay has had...
Stop with the Harry Mackay. He's on a bye this week.
It's nice to have a bit. Don't bring in Harry Mackay this week. He's on a bye. I've heard. Somebody told me. I can't remember who. Thanks, Jesse.
And that's the end of the footy mailbag this week. Clarky, I'm supposed to thank you, but I'm not sure if I should.
Nah, it's fine. Guys, we really appreciate your questions. It's so good to have such a big response to our first round, like the first proper round that we've had. We really, really appreciate all your questions. And we're sorry if we don't get to all of them, but we try to respond to as many messages as we can that we do get. I know we get some in our Facebook inbox. We get some in our Twitter inbox. So we appreciate you taking the time to listen to us and to ask us questions and to take our advice into consideration because we love helping you.
And if you like Clarky and want more of him, check out the Falcon podcast. It's a bit more of a footy-centric podcast. So head over that way if that's what you're looking for. And if you haven't given us a rating on your platform of choice, please do so. It helps us more than you know. Make sure you check out Supercoach Rings at supercoachchampion.com for a Super Bowl style ring for your league winner.
They're absolutely beautiful.
Now, usually I sign off with just saying we'll chat next time, but this week I actually just want to leave everyone with a bit of a joke, something a bit different to close out the show. So,
all right, someone cue the non-identifiable, specific but vibed Seinfeld stand-up music from the start.
Don't make me do editing.
What's like the salt shaker? Someone get like a salt shaker. Is that what they do?
All right, so this guy has been he's been working on a car for over 30 years, but and now it's pretty much finished and he wants to drive it, but he's too old to get behind the wheel. So he's been looking for someone to drive the car for him, but he's having a bit of trouble finding someone who'll do it for a good price. So unfortunately, this man has he's put all his work into this car and he's got nothing to show for it.
Damo. That's it. Da, 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 play the outro music. Get the big... Excellent work. We'll see you next week, community. Round 2, baby. Wrap it up.
See you guys.